This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Thursday, August 25th, 2016. Coming up this hour.
Mark Mobius says helicopter money is coming to Japan, and then the yen will go as low as 90 per dollar.
Bad news is getting even worse for hedge funds as redemptions for July total the most since the financial crisis.
Alibaba's finance affiliate is said to consider an IPO that could be the biggest ever in Hong Kong.
The death toll continues to rise from yesterday's earthquake in central Italy, plus the aftermath from a brazen attack at a university in Afghanistan. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, Jacob deGrom and the Mets get shoved around in St. Louis, and he's done it again. Gary Sanchez leads the new and improved and younger Yankees in Seattle.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg The First Word, on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg. The first word brought to you by SEI. In the future, the asset management business will be profoundly different. Find out how SEI's global operating platform can help you navigate the new operational frontier at seic.com/imagine.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures are down 4.5 points. Dow E-mini futures down 43. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 12. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. CAC in Paris down 1.2%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.8%. Nikkei 225 in Japan lost 0.25%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was little changed. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. Yield 1.54%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.75%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 5 cents to $46.72 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 40 cents to $13.29.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1284, and the yen, 100.37.
Templeton Emerging Markets Executive Chairman Mark Mobius says helicopter money is coming to Japan as early as next month.
They will engage in helicopter money with great care and great reluctance. And, of course, if they do it too carefully, it won't have the desired effect. This is the dilemma they're facing.
And Mobius believes a weaker dollar will play a part in the Bank of Japan's decision-making process.
They're going to be much more circumspect, and they probably will wait until, let's say, yen reaches 90 before taking action.
Helicopter money comes in several forms, including printing money and directly financing state spending. Templeton Emerging Markets Executive Chairman Mark Mobius follows Japan's economy closely because of its trade relationships with emerging markets in Asia and around the world. And checking the yen right now, it is trading at 137.
Trading volume and volatility low today in Asia. A Bloomberg First Word Asia anchor Juliet Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and Karen, major Asian markets were mostly weaker Thursday on very low volumes, investors still playing this waiting game ahead of Janet Yellen's Jackson Hole speech. However, Nicholas Teo at KGI Fraser Securities in Singapore told us she may not actually provide the impetus markets are looking for. Goldman Sachs, meanwhile, seeing the Kiwi as the most vulnerable Asian currency to a potential surprise from Yellen. We've seen fluctuations in the MSCI Asia Pacific Index over the past 2 weeks, the most muted since 2012, and there's been a 41% drop in trading volumes on the topics for this time of year. On Thursday, the topics closing lower by 0.2%. Speculation of more restrictions to curb property prices saw the Shanghai Composite close down 0.6%, and mining stocks dragged Australia's market down by around 0.4%. Energy players dragging in Hong Kong, this after CNOOC posted its first ever half-year loss. PetroChina saw its profit slump by 98%. And Sinopec will report Friday. And we are also hearing Alibaba's finance affiliate is considering an IPO in Hong Kong in the first half of next year. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Radio, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. And equities in Europe are trading lower this morning. We go live to London and Bloomberg First Word Europe anchor Neira Chehich now for the very latest. Good morning to you, Neira.
Good morning, Bob Caron. Yes, we're seeing the Stock 600 down 1.1%. That's the biggest drop for the benchmark since August 2nd. European stocks falling for the first time in 4 days. Investors perhaps cashing in on some recent gains before Jackson Hole. As we know, a lot of markets on hold, volumes down, volatility down. In terms of economic data that we've had, German IFO confidence falling. Now, this was an unexpected drop for August, but in general, most recent economic data have beaten forecasts in Europe. Spain's economy beating its growth estimate despite the political deadlock today. Then in looking at the industry groups on the Stock 600, every industry group is lower. So a lot of companies on the downside, minus some of the worst performers with iron ore retreating. But on the upside, you've got Ahold Delhaize. Now, this has gained as much as 1.7% after it forecast a boost to second half profit from the merger that happened last month. These are the last standalone results for the company, by the way, as Ahold merges with Delhaize, and second quarter earnings beat analyst estimates. One analyst called it a good start to married life. Bob, Caron.
All right, Neera Chahich, thank you. For hedge funds this year, bad news is getting even worse. The returns continue to lag and redemptions are rising. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
According to an eVestment report, investors pulled an estimated $25.2 billion from hedge funds last month, the biggest monthly redemption since February of 2009. The withdrawals were the second straight for the beleaguered industry, which saw $23.5 billion pulled in June. According to the report, that brings total outflows this year to $55.9 billion, driven by, quote, mediocre performance after a number of funds lost money last year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thanks, Charlie. And we are watching futures this morning. They are falling. S&P E-mini futures are down 4 points. Dow E-mini futures down 40. NASDAQ E-mini futures down almost 11. The DAX in Germany down 1.2%. CAC in Paris down 1.2% as well. And the FTSE 100 is down almost 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 1.55%. And the yield on the 2-year 0.75%. NYMEX crude oil is little change. It's up a cent now at $46.80 a barrel. And the euro $1.1284. Coming up on Bloomberg The First Word, the latest national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street this hour. The First Word is brought to you by Volvo Cars White Plains. Visit VolvoCarsWhitePlains.com. The latest on that tragic earthquake in central Italy. Bloomberg's Michael Barr now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Italy's Civil Protection Agency says the death toll from yesterday's pre-dawn earthquake has climbed to 247. Searchers continue to go through piles of rock and sand that were once buildings. Three towns were hard hit, including one where travelers had to come for a pasta festival. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello has more from Rome.
Italy's cabinet is meeting today to discuss the earthquake reconstruction efforts. That includes the immediate allocation of about $56 million worth of emergency aid, and certainly more government funds will follow after that. The government of Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi needs to avoid mismanagement of reconstruction money, an issue that has plagued the aftermath of Italian earthquakes in the past. One very preliminary estimate puts the economic loss at more than $1 billion. Kevin Costello, Bloomberg News, Rome.
Seven students are dead following a brazen militant attack on the American University of Afghanistan. Also killed in the assault were two police officers and a security guard. A government spokesman says the assault began yesterday with a suicide car bombing at the university's entrance in Kabul. After more than 8 hours, police shot and killed two attackers. Brazil's Senate opens an impeachment trial today that will likely result in the ouster of suspended President Dilma Rousseff. Bloomberg's Anna Edgerton has more from Brazil.
Rousseff has remained defiant, describing the process as an illegal coup, and her former vice president, Michel Temer, as a traitor. Temer's aides say they expect at least 60 of the total 81 senators to vote in favor of impeachment, well over the two-thirds majority needed to permanently remove Rousseff from office. Anna Edgerton, Bloomberg Radio, Brasilia.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says residents trying to recover from recent flooding will be able to receive grants to repair their damaged homes. But some homes have more extensive damage and people have to live somewhere else. Bel Edwards says one option is rental housing.
This program seeks to maximize the number of rental properties available by identifying buildings and quickly repairing them and offering them as temporary rental housing.
Multiple tornadoes touched down in central Indiana, causing damage. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, sir. That brings us to 5:09 on Wall Street and with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Hey, good morning to you, Bob. The Mets' brief three-game win streak is over as Jacob deGrom and company got pushed around in St. Louis.
Fly ball to left field. You can watch this one go out of the park. Number 19, Carr. The Cardinal right fielder, Piscotty's 19th. RBI is number 70 and 71. And the Redbirds have hit three home runs tonight.
It's Cardinals radio as DeGrom allowed those three home runs, didn't make it out of the fifth inning, en route to an 8-1 loss at Busch Stadium. 19 hits in all for the Cardinals as the Mets fall 4.5 back in the wild card. It's the rubber match under the arch when Adam Wainwright entertains Seth Lugo tonight at 7:15. Meanwhile, the Yankees, they may have found their franchise catcher.
The pitch to Gary, swung on and hit in the air to deep left. It is high, it is far, it is gone.
Wow.
I tell you this, now I don't want to quote Jack Buck. I don't believe what I just saw, but I don't believe what I'm seeing. Gary is scary, and the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
That's the Yankees radio, John Sterling on the call. They were just getting started offensively, beating the Mariners 5-0 in Seattle to take the series 2-1. Sanchez, a rookie, went 2-for-3. He now has 9 home runs in 19 games. It's being called up and is batting .389. Yankees are off as they return home on Friday to host the Orioles. And good luck to the Little Leaguers as Jude Abadesa, remember that name, was 5-for-5, 6 RBIs to lead Endwell, New York, past Bowling Green, Kentucky, 13-10 for a spot in the U.S. title game at the Little League World Series in Williamsport, PA. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Bushka. Hope Solo has been suspended from the U.S. soccer team. The suspension for the goalkeeper was due to disparaging comments she made about Sweden after the U.S. team's early departure from the Rio Olympics. She called them cowards for their focus on defense as opposed to offense. The suspension runs 6 months. Bloomberg, the first word, brought to you by Maserati of Morris County. Get behind the wheel of an all-new Maserati Ghibli SQ4. Why go just anywhere when you can shop like a celebrity at Maserati of Morris County? Visit MaseratiMC.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with durable goods orders. And the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45. And Tiffany is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. Oil is trading near the lowest close in a week as U.S. crude stockpiles unexpectedly increased. NYMEX crude oil still moving higher now, up 0.3% or 14 cents to $46.90 a barrel. European stocks are falling for the first time this week. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. CAC in Paris down 0.9%, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.6%. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures also lower. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points. Dow E-mini futures down 29, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 8. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 1.55%, yield on the 2-year 0.75%. COMEX gold is down less than 0.1%, down $1 to $13.2870 an ounce. The euro $1.1285, the yen 100.40. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Donald Trump has made another call for support for minority voters. At a rally in Jackson, Mississippi, Trump charged that rival Hillary Clinton is, quote, a bigot. He said Clinton sees people of color only as votes, not as human beings worthy of a better future. Polls show Trump has minuscule support among black voters. National polls also show Clinton widening her lead over Trump. The death toll from yesterday's earthquake in central Italy has climbed to 247. In sports in Major League Baseball, the Yankees beat the Mariners, the Mets fell to the Cardinals, the Orioles downed the Nationals, the Red Sox and the Giants lost, the A's were winners. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. A measure of the dollar's expected fluctuations against the yen has stayed close to its highest level in 4 weeks as investors prepare for central bank policy meetings in the U.S. and Japan next month. Let's discuss where this may be leading with Valentin Marinov, Crédit Agricole's U.K.-based head of G10 FX Research. Good morning and welcome, sir. A moment ago, we were reporting on what Mark Mobius at Templeton told us about helicopter money. He thinks it is indeed coming to Japan, and then he sees the yen going as low as 90 per dollar. What's your take on this?
Yeah, we think that helicopter money is still fairly unlikely, and if anything, it will take a lot of legislative changes in Japan itself to make that work, or indeed to make it possible at all. Our call on the BOJ is somewhat more cautious. If anything, Kuroda will try to continue to pursue policies similar to what we've been seeing of late, and as a result, that will continue to confirm investors' perception that maybe the BOJ has indeed reached the end of the road when it comes to further aggressive easing. In other words, it will take further significant deterioration in the data or indeed the Japanese economic outlook for the Japanese officials to consider a measure as drastic as helicopter money.
Well, what you say would seem to make the Japanese inflation data for July that's due out tomorrow even more important.
Well, in a way, it will likely confirm a trend, the fact that despite its promises or indeed best efforts, the BOJ was largely unable to really lift realized inflation. What is also concerning is that it's also playing out in terms of lower inflation expectations in Japan. If you use various market measures of that, you'd see that the lower realized inflation is filtering into lower inflation expectations. Really, it's a vicious circle that Kuroda has pledged to break, really, and that seemingly he's unable to. That's all going to be taken into account. All that said, however, we think that the helicopter money may be a step too far for the BOJ for the time being.
And does this policy divergence that we've seen between the U.S. and Japan make things more complicated for Japanese banking officials?
Well, they were certainly hoping that a lot of the what they were trying to achieve had to do with the expectation that the policy divergence will indeed work and indeed will continue to provide support for dollar yen. By implication, the weakness in the currency will then filter into higher imported inflation and ultimately higher CPI inflation in Japan. That hasn't really worked as well. And if anything, what we are also seeing at the moment is that investors are trying to reevaluate the prospects for really the divergence trade over longer term. In other words, that's really on the dollar side, playing out more on the dollar side rather than just in the case of dollar yen. But we do see the dollar generally struggling really to perform across the board as investors are paring back their long-term rate expectations. That is, we're seeing quite an aggressive flattening at the short end of the U.S. yield curve. So, and playing into that, the concern that the natural rate in the U.S. Globally has dropped significantly, which ultimately should limit the ability of the Fed to deliver aggressive hikes or indeed will be able to deliver a quick tightening anytime soon. So taken as a whole, all that is taking a big chunk out of the confidence in the investor community that the divergence, the policy divergence trade has further to go or significantly further to go in the future, in coming quarters and indeed years. And unless you expect the BOJ to actually announce aggressive policies like helicopter money, I don't think that the policy divergence trade has a significant prospect or indeed will indeed deepen or grow significantly from here. And that's what's really reflected in what's happening in the dollar crosses and in particular in the case of dollar yen. And of course, that's a worry for the the BOJ. That said, there doesn't seem to be much that they could do about it on their side, at least.
Jonathan Marinoff is Crédit Agricole's UK-based head of G10 FX Research. We appreciate your insights this morning. Let's check the markets now. S&P E-mini futures down by 3 points, a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis lower by 26 points now. NASDAQ E-mini futures down by 6 points. In Europe, London FTSE down 0.5%. The CAC in Paris now down 0.8%. The DAX in Frankfurt lower by around 1%. 10-year Treasury prices are higher, 3/32 higher. The yield on the 10-year at 1.55%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word on Bloomberg Radio. The first word brought to you by Prestige Lexus. The only way to understand the joy of owning a Lexus is to drive one. The time is now at Prestige Lexus during the Golden Opportunity Sales Event. Visit Prestige Lexus in Ramsey or PrestigeLexus.com.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away, I should say, from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's catch up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Templeton Emerging Markets Executive Chairman Mark Mobius says helicopter money is coming to Japan as early as next month.
Engage in helicopter money with great care and great reluctance. And, of course, if they do it too carefully, it won't have the desired effect. Is the dilemma they're facing.
Mark Mobius sees the yen reaching 90 per dollar before the Bank of Japan takes action. And checking the yen now, it is trading at 100.43.
According to people familiar with the matter, Alibaba Group's finance affiliate is considering an initial public offering in the first half of next year. An IPO for Alipay, which is controlled by Ant Financial, would likely be among the biggest ever for Hong Kong. In its latest round of fundraising, Alipay was valued at $60 billion.
For hedge funds this year, bad news is getting even worse. They're seeing the biggest redemption since 2009. According to a report from eVestment, investors pulled an estimated $25.2 billion from hedge funds last month. That brings total outflows for the year to nearly $56 billion.
HP forecasting fiscal fourth quarter profit that may fall short of analyst estimates. Shares are down almost 6% this morning. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
HP Inc. sells personal computers and printers, and it is grappling with slumping demand for its products. Anand Srivanasan is a senior analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence.
One of the things that we do want to see from the analyst community is the slowdown in the rate of decline of both PCs and printing, and potential for improvement. And we don't see that in the current quarter or the guidance.
HP says profit from continuing operations, excluding some items, will be 34 cents to 37 cents a share in the current quarter. That would fall short of analyst projections for 40 cents. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thanks, Charlie. And futures this morning are now little changed to lower. S&P E-mini futures down a point, Dow E-mini futures down 16, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 3. And stocks in Europe are also trimming their declines, with the DAX in Germany down 0.6% now. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 26 cents to $47.03 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.1% or $1.60 to $13.2810 an ounce. The euro, $1.1292. Our world and national headlines straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
And thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street this hour. Of the First Word is brought to you by Palisades Audi. Visit PalisadesAudi.com. Frantic rescue efforts in Italy. Bloomberg's Michael Barr now on the earthquake aftermath.
Thank you very much, Bob. The death toll in central Italy is now at 247 following yesterday's strong earthquake and aftershocks. Rescue crews with bulldozers have been racing to dig out survivors buried under rock and sand that were once buildings. The quake reduced three Italian towns to rubble. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello has more from Rome.
There are also several hundred people injured, many in the hospital, but also those who were treated at the scene in central Italy. Villagers are seeking news of friends and loved ones caught by the tremor after many of the survivors spent the night in tents or makeshift shelters. Rubble is piled high and so precariously that rescuers are literally digging with their hands in search of anyone who may still be living after being trapped for more than a day. And already, villagers in the earthquake zone in central Italy are demanding prompt rebuilding of their devastated homes and businesses. Kevin Costello, Bloomberg News, Rome.
At least seven students are dead following a brazen hours-long militant attack on the American University of Afghanistan in Kabul. Hillary Clinton is defending her family's charitable foundation and calling an Associated Press report about meetings involving donors a lot of smoke, no fire. Clinton says in an interview with CNN that the AP report looked at a small portion of my time as Secretary of State and drew the conclusion that her meetings with Nobel Prize winners were connected to the foundation rather than their work as global leaders. She says that is absurd. Donald Trump was joined by a former UK Independence Party leader, Nigel Farage, who played a major role in convincing British voters to leave the European Union. Trump, during a rally in Jackson, Mississippi, congratulated Farage for convincing British voters to approve the Brexit.
Everybody said it couldn't be done. And by the way, it's looking like a very wise decision right now by the voters. So I really congratulate Nigel, and I thank you for being here. Thank you.
Tornadoes forced Indiana Governor Mike Pence off the campaign trail and back to his home state. Pence says there were at least tornadoes that damaged two counties north of Indianapolis.
It is truly remarkable that there are such a few number of injuries or worse in the wake of this storm.
Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thanks very much. That brings us to 5:35, almost 5:36 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Hey, good morning, Bob. The Mets continue their roller coaster season. Just when you think they have it together, Jacob deGrom gets hammered in St. Louis, allowing three long balls, didn't see the sixth inning as the Cardinals tied up the series with an 8-1 win. DeGrom now 7-7. Skipper Terry Collins says, we don't have the number of arms we used to.
But I'm not sure where we're going to find all the pitching for all these rests. You know, we just lost Nice, and we've just brought two young guys up to start in the rotation now. We're going to make a move probably to bring get some length tomorrow, but we're running out of bodies.
Seth Lugo will get the call tonight. He takes on one of the game's best in Adam Wainwright, New York's 4.5 back in the wild card chase. Well, don't call him Sanchez just yet, but the Yankees rookie catcher Gary Sanchez is playing like it, belting his ninth home run in 19 games after being called up. He's hitting .389. Yankees win in Seattle 5-0, taking the series. Travel day today as the Orioles visit Yankee Stadium on Friday. Saturday is called the biggest dress rehearsal. Unofficially, it's game 3 of 4 in the NFL preseason. The Jets and Giants square off. Jets coach Todd Bowles is downplaying the matchup.
Nothing other than getting chemistry together. It's not a dress rehearsal because the regular season is 10 times more amped up than this. You know, it's a completely different deal, but you do want to develop some chemistry as you play your guys longer because they play shorter periods of amounts of time in the other two games. So you do want to see some chemistry and some cohesiveness.
Bowles says there still is no quarterback controversy. Ryan Fitzpatrick is ahead of Geno Smith on the depth chart. In Little League World Series update, Endwell, New York beat Kentucky 13-10 to advance to the U.S. title game. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thanks so much. And that brings us to 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. And we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Bob. Scott Minard says investors should prepare for several more years of ultra-low interest rates. As chief investment officer, Minard manages $250 billion for Guggenheim Partners, and he's joining a growing chorus of investors urging governments to step up spending as central banks run out of tools to stimulate growth. Housing demand will remain high even if prices continue to rise and mortgage rates go up, according to Ara Hovnanian. The CEO of Red Bank, New Jersey-based home builder of Nanian, says there's plenty of pent-up demand and there's room for more rental and for-sale homes to be built. Lending Club has hired a pair of Wall Street executives to improve relationships with investors after many pulled back from buying the loans it arranges online during a tumultuous second quarter. Valerie Kay, previously at Morgan Stanley, will join as head of its institutional clients, and Raman Suri, who worked at BlackRock, will handle retail investors. That's the T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thank you, Ed. Fed watchers will be paying very close attention to remarks from Janet Yellen when she speaks tomorrow in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Bloomberg's Michael McKee tells us more.
The Kansas City Fed has been holding its annual economic symposium for 40 years, and for 38 of them, Fed chairs came and gave technical academic keynote speeches or didn't attend. Twice, Ben Bernanke laid out Fed policy, and that has Wall Street wondering, what is Janet Yellen going to do with her keynote address on Friday? The betting is she won't say much. She'll preserve her options. The Fed wants to see the economic data from August and September before it has to make a decision at its next meeting, September 21st. We've had Fed Vice Chair Stan Fisher and New York Fed President Bill Dudley suggest the September meeting is live. Yellen might say that, but whether or not she suggests the Fed is imminently close to an interest rate increase is something we will find out on Friday. Michael McKee, Bloomberg, Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Thanks, Mike. This morning at 8:30 Wall Street time, the Commerce Department issues data on factory orders for durable goods. Economists forecasting a 3.4% increase for July. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has the story from the First Word Desk.
Durable goods are products manufactured to last three or more years. The government's prior report showed total orders fell in June for the second month in a row. However, orders for capital goods alone increased for the first time in 3 months, pointing to a possible revival in business investment. At the Bloomberg First Word Desk, I'm Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Vinny. And 2-year Treasury notes are now the cheapest relative to 30-year bonds since the start of 2008, this after hawkish comments from Fed officials for speculation they'll hike interest rates this year. The odds the Fed will raise rates in 2016 have risen to 54% from 47% a week ago. The move comes after Vice Chairman Stanley Fisher joined the president of the New York and San Francisco Feds in signaling a move was still under consideration. Your Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by T2 Computing, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Cameron Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed to lower this morning, with S&P E-mini futures down about 2 points, Dow E-mini futures down 22, NASDAQ E-mini futures down 5.5, the DAX in Germany's down 0.8%, CAC in Paris down 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.3%. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% now, or 25 cents to $47.01. A barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1.40 to $13.28.30 an ounce. The euro $1.12.93. The yen 100.40. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, rescue crews continue to comb through the rubble looking for any survivors from yesterday's earthquake in central Italy. At least 247 people were killed in the quake that leveled three towns. Vice President Joe Biden was snubbed during his visit to Turkey. Biden is in Ankara to try to smooth relations that were frayed after last month's failed coup. Turkey sent low-ranking officials to greet Biden at the airport. Turkey blames a self-exiled cleric who was living in Pennsylvania for inciting the coup. Ankara has demanded his extradition. North Korea now says the U.S. mainland is in a range of its missiles. North Korea's state-run news agency says the test of a submarine-launched ballistic missiles that proved the viability of the country's technology. In sports, Major League Baseball, the Yankees beat the Mariners, the Mets fell to the Cardinals, the Orioles down the Nationals, the Red Sox, and the Giants lost, the A's were winners. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. And Edward, let's start with SolarCity bonds and how attractive they are. Don't look now, but they're selling mostly to SolarCity relatives.
Yes. Well, if investors won't lend SolarCity money, that's no problem because Elon Musk will. Musk, along with Lyndon and Peter Reeve, SolarCity's CEO and chief technology chief, are buying $100 million of a $124 million offering of solar bonds. Now, two observations here. When insiders buy more than 80% of some paper a company is selling, it is unlikely that said paper is proving very attractive to regular investors. Observation number two. This is especially telling when said paper carries a coupon of 6.5% and matures in only 18 months. Two-year treasuries, in comparison, are yielding about 0.75%. Despite the names, these bonds aren't tied to cash flows or specific solar projects. Those are solar asset-backed securities. These are just a type of unsecured debt SolarCity started selling directly to the public in 2014. But what it looks like it's doing, it's morphing into something like a revolving credit facility from insiders, and it's expensive. Only a year ago, SolarCity was offering solar bonds that paid 5.45% a year and matured in 15 years. Let that sink in for a moment. The latest bonds pay an extra percentage point, but have a maturity only one-tenth as long. And what's more, mom and pop haven't been big buyers despite these rising coupons. These aren't your grandfather's bonds. Holders can't initiate bankruptcy proceedings if SolarCity misses a payment or demand to be cashed out if there's a change of control. That SolarCity is relying on this peculiar form of funding is just the latest red flag for investors.
And let's turn our attention to the talking refrigerator. If your refrigerator is talking to you or emailing you, maybe the chip maker is going to be king someday, huh?
Someday. Semiconductor companies have a reputation for being volatile, capital-intensive, and brutally cyclical. The sector's in one of its slumps right now. Revenue's expected to fall again for a second year in a row. But look at the Philadelphia Stock Exchange Semiconductor Index. It's trading at levels not seen since late 2000. It's up 20% this year and is on an eight-week winning streak. What's going on? Part of this is analysts saying top-line growth will come back soon. Part of it is earnings, 12-month earnings expectations are rising. And part of it is the euphoria for deals. Obviously, the chip sector has been consolidating rapidly since early 2015. But again, it's not just M&A. Demand for chips using cars, gaming, video is growing, even as smartphones and PCs struggle. And that's helping chip makers that are specialized, people like NVIDIA, Infineon, and NXP. And of course, then, there's the much ballyhooed Internet of Things. We're going to need lots of chips to connect your fridges, your robo-cars, and whatever else comes with chips these days.
Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in London, thanks very much. And you can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing G-A-D-F-GO on the Bloomberg. Karen.
Well, now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Michael Best discuss a National Labor Relations Board ruling that graduate students who teach at private universities should be categorized as employees with full rights to join unions. They speak with Joseph Ambash, a managing partner at Fisher Phillips, and Catherine Ruckelshaus, general counsel at the National Employment Law Project.
Catherine, tell us why the NLRB reversed its previous decision.
Yeah, so in its Brown University decision that was put down in 2004, the NLRB decision said that the Brown Board failed to apply the statutory terms of the National Labor Relations Act, which define employee pretty specifically and do not exempt graduate and teaching assistants. So the board this week said, you need to apply the definition and statutory terms of the act and look at the facts in this case and see whether or not the teaching assistants and grad students are in fact employees.
Joseph, tell us the position of Columbia and the other Ivy League universities who oppose this.
The universities that opposed the decision feel that when students are acting as teaching assistants or research assistants as part and parcel either of their curricular requirement or as an expectation of their degree program, they are acting as students. And to suggest that what they are doing as part of their degree program should be suddenly converted into being an employee makes no sense and will have very detrimental effects on private sector higher education.
Catherine, it is a little counterintuitive to some people to think of people who are graduate students as employees. What is it about the relationship between the universities and the graduate student teaching assistants that persuaded the board that they fit within the statutory definition of an employee?
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think it's interesting that the briefs and the board decision lay out pretty clearly what the relationship is between the teaching assistants and the graduate students. They frequently do take on a role akin to that of a faculty member. They get paid to conduct lectures, grade exams, lead discussions. And more of the overall teaching duties that are conducted at universities today are conducted by student assistants and TAs and grad students.
Catherine, when you said payment, what is the payment?
Well, it depends on the category. The board's decision lays out the facts of how it works at Columbia, but it looks like to me that it's a combination of stipends. Sometimes it is cash payments. It depends on the category of student and work that they're performing. But one of the key things that apparently seems to have driven the students to seek recognition at the board is that often their stipend payments are quite late and they're not able to pay rent and buy groceries and make ends meet while they're waiting for their stipend payments.
And that is Catherine Ruckelshaus, General Counsel at the National Employment Law Project, and Joseph Ambash, a managing partner at Fisher Phillips, speaking to Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Michael Best. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 4:30 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. We do have a headline crossing the Bloomberg CIBC reporting a third quarter adjusted profit that beat analyst estimates. Futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures down about 3 points. Dow E-mini futures down 28. NASDAQ E-mini futures are down 8. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 1.55%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 18 cents at $46.95 a barrel. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, regulatory, and business information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
Consumers on the federal health insurance exchanges would still be able to buy affordable coverage, even if premium rates on all ACA plans were to increase by double digits next year. That's according to a Health and Human Services analysis. It concludes the combination of premium tax credits and the opportunity to shop around would protect consumers. The Kardashian sisters have gotten an injunction barring a cosmetics company from using their names and Kardashian Beauty trademark. Haven Beauty got the rights in 2014 when the original licensee ran into financial problems, but the Kardashians claim it violated the agreement and they want it terminated. You would still be able to call the IRS if you need help. The agency says creating an online account program for taxpayers and return preparers will not replace the ability to pick up the phone for assistance.
That's today's Bloomberg BNA report. For more on these and other stories, visit BNA.com.
This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Thursday, August 25th, 2016. Coming up this hour.
Mark Mobius says helicopter money is coming to Japan, and then the yen will go as low as 90 per dollar.
Bad news is getting even worse for hedge funds as redemptions for July total the most since the financial crisis.
Alibaba's finance affiliate is said to consider an IPO that could be the biggest ever in Hong Kong.
The death toll continues to rise from yesterday's earthquake in central Italy, plus the aftermath from a brazen attack at a university in Afghanistan. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, Jacob deGrom and the Mets get shoved around in St. Louis, and he's done it again. Gary Sanchez leads the new and improved and younger Yankees in Seattle.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word, on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, they're lower. S&P E-mini futures down 2 points. Dow E-mini futures down 23. And NASDAQ E-mini futures down 7. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan lost 0.25%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong, little changed. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 1.54%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.75%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 13 cents to $46.91 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3 to $13.2670 an ounce. The euro, $1.1295. The yen, 100.40.
Templeton Emerging Markets Executive Chairman Mark Mobius says helicopter money is coming to Japan as early as next month.
They will engage in helicopter money with great care and great reluctance. And of course, if they do it too carefully, it won't have the desired effect. This is the dilemma they're facing.
And Mobius believes a weaker dollar will play a part in the Bank of Japan's decision-making process.
They're going to be much more circumspect, and they probably will wait until, let's say, yen reaches 90 before taking action.
Helicopter money comes in several forms, including printing money and directly financing state spending. Templeton Emerging Markets Executive Chairman Mark Mobius follows Japan's economy closely because of its trade relationships with emerging markets in Asia and around the world. And checking the yen right now, it is trading at 100.40.
Trading volume and volatility low today in Asia. Bloomberg First Word Asia anchor Juliet Solly reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and Karen, major Asian markets were mostly weaker Thursday on very low volumes, investors still playing this waiting game ahead of Janet Yellen's Jackson Hole speech. However, Nicholas Teo at KGI Fraser Securities in Singapore told us she may not actually provide the impetus markets are looking for. Goldman Sachs, meanwhile, seeing the Kiwi as the most vulnerable Asian currency to a potential surprise from Yellen. We've seen fluctuations in the MSCI Asia Pacific Index over the past 2 weeks, the most muted since 2012, and there's been a 41% drop in trading volumes on the topics for this time of year. On Thursday, the topics closing lower by 0.2%. Speculation of more restrictions to curb property prices saw the Shanghai Composite close down 0.6%, and mining stocks dragged Australia's market down by around 0.4%. Energy players dragging in Hong Kong, this after CNOOC posted its first ever half-year loss. PetroChina saw its profit slump by 98%. And Sinopec will report Friday. And we are also hearing Alibaba's finance affiliate is considering an IPO in Hong Kong in the first half of next year. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Radio, Hong Kong.
Juliet, thank you. And equities in Europe are trading lower this morning. With the latest, live in London, Bloomberg's First Word Asia Europe anchor, Neyra Chaich. Good morning, Neyra.
Good morning, Bob, Karen. Yes, European stocks falling for the first time in 4 days. The Stock 600 down about 0.7%. Investors perhaps speculating that recent gains were overdone as they await Janet Yellen's speech at Jackson Hole. In terms of industry groups, pretty much all of them heading lower. The worst performers, healthcare stocks after Clinton's comments on pricing, but also commodity producers with iron ore dropping. In terms of individual performers, though, we do have some gainers, of course. One of them, ITV. We've seen the shares pop in the past 15 minutes or so, up 1.8% at the moment after the UK broadcaster withdrew its $1.3 billion offer for Entertainment One. That's the owner of the popular children's television franchise Peppa Pig. We're also seeing our hold shares gaining about 1.4% at the moment. This is after second quarter profit beat estimates, but it also forecast a boost to second half profit from joining forces with Dallaire's. These are the last standalone results for our whole Dallaire's as it merges and we get that combined company. And one analyst described the results as a good start to married life. Bob, Karen.
Neyra Chaich, thank you. For hedge funds this year, bad news is getting even worse. Returns continue to lag and redemptions rising. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has a story.
According to an eVestment report, investors polled an estimated $25.2 billion from hedge funds last month, the biggest monthly redemption since February of 2009. The withdrawals were the second straight for the beleaguered industry, which saw 23.5 billion pulled in June. According to the report, that brings total outflows this year to 55.9 billion, driven by, quote, mediocre performance after a number of funds lost money last year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Charlie. Tiffany and Company set to release quarterly results this morning, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger tells us more.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the luxury chain same-store sales may have fallen more than 7% in the second quarter. Tiffany's business is affected by the global economy, and a drop in the number of foreign tourists likely took a toll, especially at the flagship store in New York. It is predicted Tiffany's earnings will come in at 71 cents a share on revenue of nearly $934 million. 14 analysts have buy ratings on Tiffany, 12 have hold ratings, and there is a single sell rating. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thanks, Jeff. And futures this morning, lower. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points, Dow E-mini futures down 33, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 9. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 1.54%. Coming up on Bloomberg, the first word, a check of the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. This hour of The First Word is brought to you by Mount Kisco Volvo. Visit MountKiscoVolvo.com. They're racing against time in Italy. Bloomberg's Michael Barr has the latest for us on that tragic earthquake.
Thank you, Bob. Italy's Civil Protection Agency says the death toll from yesterday's pre-dawn earthquake has climbed to 247. Searchers continue to go through piles of rock and sand that were once buildings. Three towns were hit hard. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello has more from Rome.
Italy's cabinet is meeting today to discuss the earthquake reconstruction efforts. That includes the immediate allocation of about $56 million worth of emergency aid, and certainly more government funds will follow after that. The government of Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi needs to avoid mismanagement of reconstruction money, an issue that has plagued the aftermath of Italian earthquakes in the past. One very preliminary estimate puts the economic loss at more than $1 billion. Kevin Costello, Bloomberg News, Rome.
Seven students are dead following a brazen militant attack on the American University of Afghanistan in Kabul. Also killed in the assault were two police officers and a security guard. After more than 8 hours, police shot and killed two attackers. Brazil's Senate opens an impeachment trial today that will likely result in the ouster of suspended President Dilma Rousseff. Bloomberg's Anna Edgerton has more from Brazil.
Rousseff has remained defiant, describing the process as an illegal coup, and her former vice president, Michel Temer, as a traitor. Temer's aides say they expect at least 60 of the total 81 senators to vote in favor of impeachment, well over the two-thirds majority needed to permanently remove Rousseff from office. Anna Edgerton, Bloomberg Radio, Brasilia.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says residents trying to recover from recent flooding will be able to receive grants to repair their damaged homes. But some homes have more extensive damage and people have to live somewhere else. Bel Edwards says one option is rental housing.
This program seeks to maximize the number of rental properties available by identifying buildings and quickly repairing them and offering them as temporary rental housing.
Edwards says another option will be mobile homes. Multiple tornadoes have touched down in central Indiana, tearing the roofs off apartment buildings and sending air conditioners falling onto parked cars. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Appreciate it, Michael. That brings us to 6:09 on Wall Street and with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Buschka. Rob Buschka.
This update brought...
Well, sounds like we're having a little trouble getting our link to Rob. Well, we'll fill in with Hope Solo. She's been suspended from the U.S. soccer team. The suspension for the goalkeeper was due to disparaging comments she made about Sweden following the U.S. team's early departure from the Rio Olympics. Solo had called the Swedes cowards for their focus on defense as opposed to offense. Her suspension will run for 6 months. S&P E-mini futures right now are down 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis lower by 25 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures down by 7 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is lower by a third of 1%. The CAC in Paris is down 0.75%. And let's try going back to Rob Bushkin now. Good morning, Rob. Well, apparently we're still having our problems. We'll continue on with our data check here. 10-year Treasury prices are higher now by 10/32. The yield is 1.54%. The pound is trading at $1.32, the euro at $1.12, and the yen trading at 100.41. West Texas Intermediate crude is up 0.25% right now to $46.89 a barrel. Brent crude is higher by 0.2% to $49.14 a barrel. COMEX gold prices lower by 0.2%. Or $2.60 an ounce to $13.27.10. And this is Bloomberg, the first word. Stay with us. Still ahead on Bloomberg, the first word, we'll be checking out the price of EpiPens and why there's a controversy about that. This is Bloomberg. The first word brought to you by Time Warner Cable Business Class. If your business relies on the phone company, you may be getting less than you deserve. Make the switch to more speed, more value, and more savings. Visit business.com, twc.com/more.